100%.
We're all about guest appearances.
We are. We have so many guests.
I know. It's really, it's hard to keep track of them all.
Yeah, exactly.
All those appearances.
The closest
feeds.
Thing we've ever had to a guest on this particular podcast
is Hamish.
I called him once and we put him like that on the phone.
That's right.
Have we got too much balls in this? A couple of men in shorts. Shorts time in New Zealand.
It is. It's great.
Yeah. Well, have you got it picked up a bit of a... I think I'm picking up a bit of a tanny tan.
Yeah, slowly getting there. I was noticing the other day that I'm having to rotate my watch hands, otherwise I get the...
Oh, really? No, I've got a bad one.
Yeah, I don't like having that.
Got that jobby.
I don't like that. Jobby in Scotland means something else.
What does it mean?
It means a turd.
I'm going to do a wee jobby.
Yeah, a beige jobby.
Oh, really?
Billy Connolly had a whole thing about beige
jobbies.
Beige
jobbies. Oh, I've got a massive jobby brewing.
You don't remember that joke?
No, I don't.
He's got a cracking joke.
I do not.
About Celtic and Glasgow football fans.
Doing jobbies?
He's shitting his shoes.
Oh, well, no, I don't remember.
It's a great one. It's a cracking joke.
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I have not had a beer since last...
Last week you were on the low alcohol.
Yes, I was in a zero
alcohol.
What
are you doing first? We doing the same?
I'm on the hazy,
hazy pale ale.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing first. The Tuataras, because it's real metal.
Ooh.
This is our metal themed week.
Goodness me. I've got a bit of overflow.
Oh.
I'm frothing up.
You've jizzed everywhere. All over the shop.
That's what a story of my life.
It's a real metal theme this week, isn't it?
Yep.
Do we talk about our sponsor now, or is it a bit premature?
Somebody bought us beers. We didn't pay for these beers.
Yeah, we didn't pay
for... Somebody gave us money, and we bought beers.
Yeah, and someone who is in a band so dark and so heavy and so metal, they make Slayer sound like the Wiggles, man. I listened to...
I thought you might quite enjoy this. As a different...
Yeah, I like that.
Like, you know, because you're quite into your music.
I do. They sound very Norwegian to me.
Really?
So it's with the name of the... So thanks for these beers, a band called Saucer Rot.
Yes.
Am I saying that right?
Saucer Rot, I'm not sure.
Saucer Rot. From Cincinnati, but I didn't know they're from Cincinnati. I just thought they were a Norwegian death metal.
The guy who contacted me is a Kiwi, but he is now based in the States.
Yeah. They kind of gave me very much Mayhem or Gorgoroth kind of vibes.
Right.
But they were good, man. They were good, like real, real intense. Like kind of like the song I listened to had like a similar drum intro to like a Judas Priest song that I really like. So, okay. Which I love Judas Priest. So it's fucking, they were cool.
That's why I'm glad. That's why I'm glad you got a chance to listen to it, because I know you would appreciate the musical element more than me.
It's dark. Like if you want to listen to like something that's got a catchy little hook and you can hum along to on the way to work and all that sort of thing and just feel good about your life, probably not the band for you. But if you want something that's going to kind of let the beast within just
roar.
Maybe
it's a good one for like exercising too. Like if
absolutely.
Wanting to get pumped.
I like running to heavy metal, and I do. Like I love metal. So I'm going to two metal concerts this week. I'm going to Metallica on Wednesday night.
Nice.
At Eden Park. And then I'm going to Tool. Oh, fuck. I can't wait for either of them on Saturday night. So I'm fucking psyched as anything. But yeah, they sounded real cool. I'll listen to more in my own time just for fun.
They did ask me to play a short segment of one of their songs.
All right.
It's not going to do it justice because it's coming from my phone. Do you want to edit it in?
I could edit it in, but are we going to get copyright?
That's the thing. It's on a YouTube channel which is not theirs.
Right.
It's the full album, though. If you want to go listen to it, it is down in the description.
Yeah. Like, let's just play the intro.
I'll play the intro.
So it got the drum, the double bass one? Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of Slayer-ish as well. Yeah. Like,
so that's only
10
seconds, but...
Super dark.
We don't want to...
He does that real, real, like, black metal kind of... Rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like...
You know what's coming from those first 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. Like, it's... Don't take it too seriously. Just it's a outlet for
high
just,
energy.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Yeah, but yeah, thank you for the guys from Saucer Rot or Saucer Rot.
Yeah, I was listening.
They're a fantasy themed metal band, and they're based in Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati.
How good, man! How
you can
good.
Actually buy. I think they got vinyl as well if you wanted like physical media, or they can. You can just listen to the full album on YouTube. It's all free.
Yeah, you should go to listen. Try something a bit different. Like Today, I was listening to... this is how varied my musical tastes are. I was listening to Pantera. I was, you know, do you ever do like the AI DJ that Spotify does for you?
Oh, okay, yeah, another one.
I do just, that sometimes.
And just let it pick songs for you.
Yeah, and then it decided to like give me Walk by Pantera, which is like one of their most famous songs of all time, which is fucking heavy. But then afterwards, like the song that led into, then it was Roller Coaster by the Bleachers, which is like a really light and I was singing full blast to both of them, and I'm like, either someone's going to think I'm an absolute bogan or a massive namby-pamby. Like, you can be both of those things. Yeah. Don't box yourself in there.
That's right.
And I'm wearing a Queens of the Stone Age t-shirt.
There you go.
Yeah. Music. It's great. It's better than sport. It doesn't let you down. Oh, no, I don't want to talk about it. Fuck that. What else can we talk about?
There are people here waiting.
We need to also let people know 2CGDs are going to be in a couple of weeks. The most important episode of the year. We'll have all our favorites, most valuable Saffa, the Richard Kahui Award for I'm Not Gay, but boy, oh boy, I could go there. What else are the other awards? If you've got any ideas for categories that we haven't done, best shit team. That's going to be hard.
Best shit team.
Yeah. Best shit team. Who's going to be that this year?
Well, do we have like shittest good team? I can think of a nomination.
I can think of a couple from our part of the world right now. Yeah, best shit team. And if you got any other nominations, every year we do this and we think, what? We have to.
Give us suggestions about those awards and we can't think of enough examples to make it. Give us like the award. give us all the information.
Yeah, give us
the category and the nominees.
Yeah, exactly. Please take it off us.
We need it on a platter.
Yeah, 100%. We don't have the bandwidth.
Yes, our memories are poor.
Yeah, and we've got a stack of these to give away. It's going to be a glittering affair as always.
Glitz Rolling, and glam, bring the suit.
The red carpet will be out.
My suit jacket stayed here for a long time after the last one. It was such a big night.
Huge night. It was absolutely out of control. We had Jack Morgan turned up, but we had to keep him off screen.
That's right.
Yeah. He was in the wrong category.
That's right.
Oh, actually, that is that's a good category. Best player on a shit team.
Mm.
Jack Morgan.
Jack Morgan's going to be Fraser McWright. Right up there. Fraser McWright's going to be
Artie Shaffir. Right
up there. God.
Oh, God. So, that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Please stay tuned. Because I guess it's just next week. It's the last full week of rugby. And then the following week will be...
The following week still has, I think, Wales against South Africa.
There's always like one random...
There's always one, like, leftover test.
Yeah.
As they fall out and of the sometimes... test window. And we'll have... Next week we'll have the World Cup final team qualified as well.
Mm-hmm.
So... Still plenty of rugby.
Still plenty.
But we are coming to the tail end of the international season.
I'm fucking ready for it. Like
start of December as well is going to have the World Cup draw, so we'll know all our pools.
It's going to be tasty. We'll have a chat about that.
You know, one thing that rugby doesn't have that much of is like that big centerpiece event that everyone has to tune into, which is like a non-match thing.
All right.
Like, you know, like the American sports have the draft. Yeah. Other sports like have trade deadlines, like you know, for the Premier League when the transfer window's closing, it's like a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
Rugby doesn't really have any of that. But it does have the Rugby World Cup draw. That's like the one event that everyone turns into.
And hopefully we don't
I live streamed it at the last war. That's the one time YouTube crashed.
Really?
YouTube crashed in the middle of my stream.
Oh.
And it was in the middle of the fucking night as well.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, you'll do another live stream?
It'll be in the middle of the night as well, but yes, I will.
So we're still rated number two in the world, aren't we? Are we still rated number two in the world?
Still number two in the world. We're going to be top six. We're going to be a top seed, but
all right.
Not looking like it that much.
No, we're certainly not. We're certainly not.
Mm.
Yes. But yeah, go check out Saucer Rort.
Yes.
They're pretty cool.
Tony knows his music more than I do.
You know your music. But we will, go down and have a wee listen. Do we finish up wrap them up? This is a long sponsor segment. I feel like I'm shoehorning them in again.
No.
Yeah, their details are below. Cincinnati. I was certainly thinking, why are people in Norway listening to us?
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
He's a Kiwi. I think he's a Crusaders fan too.
Oh.
I know.
No wonder he fucking
spells. He's got rage.
He should have happy vibes. Yeah, exactly. He should be playing in the Wiggles. Holy shit.
Goodness gracious me.
No, the name of the band has magic in it. Like,
that's what they said, fantasy themed. So.
Yeah, it's like, what was it called? Dark Magic. And it, well, what's the name of the album?
Oh, yes. The name of the album.
Yeah, the name of the album.
They got my keys.
There you go, your keys.
Rotten Magic.
Rotten Magic. And it's got it's spelled with a K.
Yeah, M-A-G-I-C-K.
Dark Magic. And what was the name? Is there something about a sorcerer's pot, a cauldron or something like that in the name of that song that you were playing? Something cauldron? Dark Cauldron or something.
Yeah, it's a full album.
What's the name of that song?
I'm listening to. The first one's called Nightmare Cauldron.
Nightmare Cauldron.
Yeah. The Messenger, The Cedar Forest of Humbaba, Sorcerer of Red Death.
Sorcerer of Red Death!
Mm.
Yeah. Bit of fun.
8 tracks, so yeah.
Fill your boots, metal fans. Rock and roll.
Rugby and metal.
Rugby and metal. Yeah, they reminded me. Yeah, definitely Norwegian. Like Gorgoroth or Mayhem. Have you heard the story about Mayhem?
No, I don't know who Mayhem are.
So Mayhem are this, maybe the originators of black metal, which is metal that has a heavy satanic theme.
So your mum doesn't listen to them?
She's not a massive fan. She doesn't listen to them on Radio Rema or Life FM. But she's got nothing to do with it. But they burnt down a bunch of churches in Norway.
Don't
and
do that.
The original lead singer killed himself. And then
don't
the
do that either.
Euronymous, the like one of the starters of the band, found him in this little hovel that they lived in, took photos of him, and that was one of their album covers. It was very dark.
Oh, geez.
And then the new
You're
guy
not selling
who,
this to me.
And then the new guy who joined the band killed Euronymous. Murdered him.
Why?
I don't like they were into like ritualistic cutting and all this sort of stuff. They were dark. There's a movie about it called Lords of Mayhem.
You're really
well, no, Lords of Chaos or something really like that. But the name of the band is Mayhem, and they're still about. But then all the people who killed each other and did all that sort of stuff
are not in the band anymore.
Know, yeah, but yeah,
okay.
Dark stuff. They have it's almost like a pilgrimage site for those metalheads. They go to this there's this record store that they started, and below there's like these crypts and stuff that they got. Some dark shit. Dark shit. Don't burn down any churches.
I had the pop station on the way over, and it was like Sabrina Carpenter talking about a handsome dude.
Yeah,
a bit different. A little bit lighter.
Yeah, yeah. You like your pop, don't you?
I like everything.
I like pop.
I like a bit of everything, genuinely.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like... I like good pop songs. I don't like mass marketed songs that are just to make money.
Like, I was never into... Like the boy bands were quite popular when I was in high school, like the Backstreet Boys.
I don't mind some of those songs.
They're catchy, but I could never get into them.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a
heartbreak. Tell me why. I don't ever want to hear you say.
The old blacks lost on the day.
Yeah, they suck my ass that way. Yeah. Well done. Fuck.
Yeah.
Do we have to talk about it?
I think so. That's why most of the people are here.
I want to talk about black metal and death metal for an hour, as opposed to talking about this. It's quite fitting, though, because the mood is bleak for rugby fans in this country. And apathetic rugby fans in this country are just like, oh, so they are really shit.
Mm.
So it's not doing much for their brand, not doing much for their... appeal to the common man here in New Zealand. And you got to say, across the board, throughout this entire reign of Razor, he has not done much for rugby in New Zealand. In New Zealand, we don't judge our All Blacks on how much they win, because that's a given, because they win. Mm. They're known for winning. It's how they win.
Mm.
And not only have they been losing more regularly than we would like, they've been winning like dog shit too. Mm. We have not seen, in 26 games, we have not seen an 80-minute performance.
Mm.
We haven't seen like a putting a team to the sword. We haven't seen cohesion, slickness. We haven't seen All Black style rugby. And we have drastically, if not just very significantly, gone backwards from the team that was in the World Cup final of 2023, who at the time we thought was a pretty shit All Black team, to be fair. Am I being too harsh?
Part of what I think is frustrating about the All Blacks right now is we don't really see a direction either. Like,
no.
if
you know, there's been other coaches who have been criticized at certain times for their results. And what Rassie, even in South Africa, was, you know, criticized when he wasn't getting results. Andy Farrell initially with Ireland, Steve Borthwick's. They asked him in his post-match press conference the other day, like, do you feel vindicated about, like, you know, all the criticism you got? And he was just like, was I criticized? Like, he was deadpan. It was amazing. It was a great little press conference. But you could see what they were doing.
They got absolutely savaged by France a couple of years ago.
That's right. But you could kind of still see, like, oh, Borthwick's trying to build a game around, you know, he wants high line speed. He wants to kick the ball a lot. He wants to put teams under pressure. And he's been building on those kind of foundations. Rassie's team with South Africa has gone through various modes. For a while, they were just like, look, we had COVID. We couldn't play expansive rugby. We kept it tight. We wanted to just play high balls and slap it back, you know, and then they've kind of, oh, we're going to play more expansive and oh shit, stop playing expansive. You're not getting results, but it's, they're kind of putting the pieces of the jigsaw together.
Constant evolution.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
the minute you stop, the minute you go back.
What can you kind of say about Razor's team at the minute? It did look earlier in the year like, okay, we're a team with backs that actually aren't that good. We don't get the backs any ball. We're going to win by apparently just fucking mauling the shit out of people.
Yeah. And we're like, well, that's weird, but.
And then we played the South Africans like, oh no, we can't do that.
We after Moldova, was it Moldova the one we lost?
Moldova? That's a country in Europe.
What's, I thought it was a city in Argentina.
Mendoza.
Moldova. Don't get me started on Moldova, though. Jeez, they'll have it coming next. What's the death metal scene like in Moldova?
Probably pretty good.
Yeah, probably.
Grim.
That game that we won just by mauls in the last 20 minutes, first test match of the year or whatever it was. No, fourth after
first of the Rugby Championship. Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, okay, we can win that way. All right, okay, cool.
Plenty of strengths.
And then we lost the next week.
Yeah.
You know, against Argentina, a team that we feel like we really shouldn't be losing to, but we lose to 50% of the time.
That's right. It's a hard one because, like, we had the French series and it was kind of like, oh, testing a B team, how disgraceful. Oh, we kind of limped past them. We did all right in one of the games, right? But, like, the first game was real.
Yeah, we were like, are they good or are we shit?
Yeah, it was kind of, that was the big question. Then Rugby Championship, each week where it looked to be getting something good was followed by a week of dog shit. And even the Eden Park game, the box made so many bloody mistakes in that game.
Yeah.
They dropped a lot of ball.
Almost like the pressure of that game got to them a little bit.
And they rectified it in the second half in Wellington.
Yeah, the hoodoo got them. But we just, I don't feel like we're just...
I thought maybe we were starting to track a little bit, okay.
You've seen glimpses. There's
Wallabies, okay, a couple of performances.
We're sitting there, we're thinking surely.
Yeah, this time. It's like we're like a bad gambler where we're just like, we keep like chucking money, like, oh, this time.
Yeah.
This time this horse is going to come in.
It's like when you're playing around a golf and you've just done a series of really shitty tee shots. You're just like...
You've still got a bit of hope.
You're just like, surely I'm going to pierce one of the like middle one of these. You know, surely one of these is going to go all right. And you're like... And you get to the end of your round and you go, fuck, I have not had a fairway yet. I have been scratching and scrambling all the way around this piece of shit course. You know, then you get angry at the course. Not your game, of course.
We're getting angry at the coach.
But the coach... I still think that these players are really good. I think there's some really, really good players. And I think we're still uncovering good players with Roygaard and Fabian Holland. I think...
Tangi Tau looks like he's got bags of potential. Yeah. Ruben Love just not getting any bloody game time.
I think Ruben Love needed to have a bit more involvement on this tour, especially considering Beauden Barrett is a great All Black and has done a huge amount for the nation and rugby in New Zealand. But... Just isn't performing as regular. He's got snippets of magic in them, and I'm still. We know that he does, but he's just not there. He's just not performing regularly enough. You know, he's making negative impacts too often. And I feel like we're just getting so much flat football. Like,
if the performances given by Beauden Barrett were being given by like Ruben Love, if he got a crack and played the same way Beauden Barrett, does he get dropped the next week?
Yeah, the boot. If that was Ruben Love, he would be dropped. He'd be dropped from the tour. No, not to. He'd stay with the touring squad, obviously, but he'd be definitely dropped from the team, and then there'd be a mark through his name for next year. He'd have to play out of his fucking skin to get back into even the squad. You know, you see that with some young All Blacks who just get completely washed, like in their first test. Pidi Soikala or Gus Oikala played okay. Didn't he score a try?
I think so. He got like 5 minutes and came on and scored a try.
And then they
gave him the arse. Now he's playing for Fiji.
Yeah. So it's, I think something different to throw. I think, and there's so much footage of Bodie as well. People kind of know what his play is. Like, they know how to.
Mm.
And he, in his pomp and in his prime, he is such an explosive player with such dynamic speed off the mark and such creativity. He's never been like known as an incredible game manager. And as you get older, you need to be more like Johnny Sexton in the fact that you can play in a dinner suit, basically.
The best players can do that, eh? Like the ones that lose their out and out pace with all the experience they gain.
Dan Carter managed it.
They get a read for the game, which inexperienced guys just don't have. So they don't necessarily have the gas to make that break, but they'll be in the right place at the right time or find the guy who will be in the right place, who's got the gas.
Yeah, and it just feels like in our backline moves and even our little setup pods, we're just shuffling the ball along. Mm. And we're shuffling along to like Peter Lackey, who's relatively flat-footed, and we're like, oh, Peter Lackey's playing well. And he's doing okay, but he's just been given
scraps,
seven carries and like... In positions that have nothing threatening going on whatsoever. I was watching Italy versus South Africa, and I was watching the Italian team and players hit the ball with pace and with like real intent. And I was like, we don't do that. Our attacking shapes are so stagnant, are so stiff, are so clunky, you know. And that's what, when we think about great All Black rugby, we think about running rugby.
Free flowing.
Yeah, men on, you know, guys on the move, really hitting the ball at maximum pace and hitting and running incredible lines and showing insane skills. I still think they have those insane skills, but I think they're working within a structure that's been given to them by these coaches that don't allow them to play fast and play hard. It's slow and soft and it's shit. And we're trying to adapt to a style of game that isn't naturally a New Zealand style of game. The kicking battles, the box kicks, the, you know, not trying to play in your 50 meter, you're between your 240s basically, and trying to give the way, that is, doesn't come to us naturally. I know the world's gone that way, and it's, if you put rugby into an algorithm, it would say kick the ball, kick the ball, kick the ball, kick the ball. And so we've gone, okay, I guess we have to do that. But at the, you know, the cost of that is our entire structure of how we attack and how we have players in motion around the field has become incredibly stifled. And we just rely on one or two. So we play real stiff, real clunky rugby for 72 minutes of every game. And we rely on 8 minutes of magic by one or two players.
And we usually get a couple, like there's a couple of moments in each game where somebody does something, whoa, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah. But we're not seeing just, you know, Conrad Smith and Martin Nonug out to, you know, Julian Sarvea, you know, with a cut ball into Ben Smith, just like, and then DC just like pumping it right into a corner, and then Dan and Richie McCaw getting a turnover from nowhere.
Critics would say, look, New Zealand, you just don't have Richie McCaw, Manonu, Dan Carter, all these players anymore. You just need to accept the fact that your team is just a bit average now.
I think we got really good players.
So do you think we are just like, how far below our potential do you think we're at?
30% below our potential.
Okay.
At the moment. I think great coaches make their players so much better.
There's been loads of teams in the past.
Look at Ireland. At our players that are in that Irish team.
That's right.
That couldn't even get a sniff of the All Blacks.
That's right.
Couldn't even get regular sniffs of Super Rugby teams.
Yep. There's been multiple teams in the past where the coach has just made the team better than the sum of their parts, because either they look at the players they've got and go, right, maybe I want to play this way.
Yeah.
But these players that I've got, best for results, we're going to play that way.
Mm.
That's what the best coaches can do, right? Like, you've got to take how you want to play, look at the players you've got and find like the best solution.
100%. Well, you just look at Russie in 2017 when he took over. He was like, okay, I'm going to work with these players that I've got. I've got a lot of muscle. I've got a lot of strength. I've got a lot of hard ball runners. I'm going to play real tough. Like,
I think he talked about getting back to South African values, because Alistair Coetzee had kind of been trying to like open them up a little bit. and people will say, no, this doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. And then you even look at Borthwick right now. Like, and he came and he was like, okay, we're in disarray where we are currently. What do we actually have to do to get back to...
Play English rugby.
Mm. And you hear all these fucking platitudes from the coaching staff. Like, it pissed me off. We will talk about the actual game and some of the crucial events at some stage.
We're going to talk about England and how you guys actually played really well at some point. We're just venting.
Yeah,
let's vent.
But we heard after the fucking game, like... From Razor and then from, no, what's the other Hanson?
Scott Hanson.
Too many Scott.
Yeah, Scott Barrett. I love it when they're in the press conference. There's Scott Robertson sitting next to Scott Barrett. They're like, so Scott, what did you think of?
I thought it was all right. But you know what? It pissed me off. Scott Hanson and Razor both said, look, we'll go away and there's so much to be proud of from that game. And there's a lot of good things to be focusing on. And like we're really, you know, we got to celebrate those things. And you just sit, and they're looking somewhat chipper, and you're just thinking, as an All Black fan, this is just shit. Like the All Black PR machine is pretty massive and pretty good for the most part. It sends out really, really good messages, but there's this sort of influx of like postage.
John Mitchelling it a bit.
Yeah, like we just didn't execute for longer periods of the game. Like what we were able to do for long parts of that, the guys put in so much effort. Obviously, we're disappointed, but we've got to look and celebrate the good things that we did from the game. But at the end of the day, we just want our boys to trust themselves and you know, go out there and play footy. Because when we play footy, you know, this team can be something really great. You just... We've heard it for 26 games. We've heard this unrelenting positivity without the product on the field. Like, it's just a never-ending just, like, pissing on our fucking feet and telling us that it's, like, manna from heaven. It's God. It's rain from God. Like, it's over. Like, our patience is gone. Like, give us a solid fucking All Black performance. And it feels as though we're just flicking the ball on, passing it, lots and lots of passing that... with no real impetus to really make good incisions into the line. Our line breaks are almost minimal. We're just relying on Will Jordan or one of the outside backs to do one or two things, pick up a scrappy ball from a bit of a high ball lottery. It's just shit. Like,
yeah. Were you overreacting?
It's shit, dude. Like, it's...
We beat Scotland. We beat Ireland.
We fucking played, like, dog shit against Ireland.
Yeah, they had a red card.
They
lost one of their best players.
Yeah. We played so poorly against Ireland. Like,
that game was a bit of a...
If Ireland play us next week, they win. Yeah. I really believe that. They've got themselves into a bit of form, and I think they got out their worst performance.
We were maybe lucky to catch them first up, eh?
Yeah, and then we were pretty fucking lucky to scratch past a Scotland team that, you know, was beaten by Argentina.
Scotland are maybe in kind of a similar position to us at the moment, where they're just like, I don't know, they are lacking a bit of consistency themselves.
We were incredibly lucky, let's be honest, for the, was it four tests that we played England last year? We were incredibly lucky to win those games. There was a couple of those we were like...
And that's a point where England, they were not where they're at now. They were still rebuilding. That was Razor's start of his time, though. So we kind of thought, like, oh, it's kind of teething issues.
Yeah, but, and it's just like, that's just gone on.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Like, England, since that point, where we beat them in those two games over here, they've clearly progressed.
Yeah.
Right? They're on, like, a 10-game winning run. They finished second in the Six Nations. Borthwick has taken his, we're going to kick the leather off the ball game, and he's added layers to it where they are breaking tackles and they got some sweet set plays and the forwards are, you know,
they've got the POM squad now. Yeah,
that's right. And he's doing creative things with the bench. So he keeps putting Ben Earl in the midfield. He's talked about putting like Pollock on the wing at times. Like he's adding layers to that England team. After all the criticism he got and the results weren't initially there, it's tracking in the right direction.
It's like he's built a house the right way almost. He's like put his foundations down.
Even if it was a bit, like he didn't get it right from day one. Yeah. So he came in for the criticism with the losses. But he rode that storm and has kind of come out of it. Hey, I've got a... I'm getting there. It's starting to... I'm going to be a real challenger for the Six Nations next year. Like, we're going to get there.
Yeah. I really... I like the English team at the moment. I really do. And I think Their style of play is pretty enjoyable to watch. Yeah. They got some real effective players out there as well.
Some of those tries they scored were amazing.
Outstanding. They ripped us to shreds. Like, I think Proctor and... I always get his...
Tupaia.
I always going to call him Tupaia. Tupaia. Their defensive communication was off on a couple of moments. Can I tell you, like, I think that the England team 100% deserves to win that game. They outplayed us and they were the better team on the day, 100%. But the game for me came down to three huge moments. Like, three huge moments that changed the momentum.
We started that game okay.
Oh, yeah.
Two tries.
First 10 minutes, they were all over us. And we pushed them back and then we just went bang, bang. And I was thinking, okay, because I was thinking the English team looked confident, and I love it when they look confident.
Yep.
I love a confident English team because I love watching them lose when they're confident. Like, and I was
so you
just,
saw Henry Paul licking his lips, and you were like, just fuck like, yeah.
Yeah, it was giving me kind of like
Owen Farrell vibes.
Not Owen Farrell vibes. It was actually going a bit more old school than that. Who was it? Will Greenwood or someone? I can't remember. Some dopey bastard from the English team winked at Jonah Lomu in the 1995.
Oh wow.
Haka.
Right.
Like winked at him, and Jonah was like, "Well, fuck. We'll see who's winking at the end of the game. You sack of shit," and then put four tries on him. I love a cocky, confident English team because I want to shove it up their ass, like. I think this English team is really, really awesome, but this is just my fan view at the time. And they were talking it up in the media all week, and I was like, I like this, this is good. That's why it feels so bad to lose, because I was like,
You were looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was like,
that was Christmas. Jeez,
I got shoved up my butt. Really did. But they come out like a hiss and a roar. They put us under pressure for 10 minutes. I thought we were really good, defended well, got some relatively big turnovers when we needed them in those first 10 minutes. I was like, okay, cool. And then took their souls a little bit by going, you put us under all that pressure and we just go bang, bang.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. And then we have two penalties to push them down. We got our tries from putting them in their wrong end. That forward kick out on the full was a terrible moment for him.
Yep.
Otherwise, he had a stellar performance.
He had one kick right at the start of the game when they had us under the pump, and he just kicked it. And it was like way too deep. Yeah, and I was like, that's a let off. That's a get out of jail free card right there.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But other than that, you're right.
That one out on the
restart. Yeah.
But the two not finding touch, one from Bowden, one from Cam Royard, because I think we score one of those tries at least. You know, if we scored two, that's amazing.
Mm.
But I think the chances are the way that we were playing, the dominance that we had at that those moments, and from resulting from those, Ford, to his bloody credit, goes down and gets two drop kicks.
They had Lawrence get a try first. Ollie Lawrence off defenders.
Yeah.
Leroy Carter kind of got himself into a bad position.
Yeah.
Lawrence had a fucking good game.
Yeah. God, he's Martin Nonu, like tank wise, eh?
He's a very good player.
Good player. No, the English got some great players. But yeah, those two, you know, I was
thinking, it was 12-5.
Yeah.
So we're still like, okay, we're going into the sheds with a decent lead. England had us under a bit of pressure. Defense was going all right. And then George Ford's just like,
bang, boom, bang.
And then, and those were long range drop goals as well.
I think those are huge in terms of the context of the game, because instead of us getting 5 or 7 points at least once, they've got 6 points.
Yep.
So that's a huge swing, you know, and those are resulting from those missed touch finders from penalties. So a huge swing gives them a sniff for the second half. Obviously, we've still got the lead. And what they really need in the second half is to get off to a flyer.
And then Underhill scores.
Underhill scores, there's a fucking awful yellow card. Like,
If I'm not mistaken, the penalty count at halftime was 3-0. Three against England.
Zilch.
I think they were about to give one penalty against us, but then didn't they, like, TMO or something? There was something else in the build-up, so they kind of reversed it.
Zero penalties, and, like, it was like, oh, it's cynical. How often do you see guys with hands in the ruck doing something on the ground, and they get spotted by the referee, and the referee goes, oh, because of penalty. You had your hands in there, cut it out, hands in the ruck. It's never given a fucking yellow. never ever given a fucking yellow. Like, it's a naughty boy move.
It did feel a bit 0 to 100.
But. Like, if he's on, if we're under penalty, like, we're going to add a shitload of penalties, or if it's right on our touchline, no, on our try line.
If it's
line,
a big line break, and then, it's like, right on they're our one pass away
from
scoring.
Yeah, 100%, but it's on our fucking 40-meter line. It's the first penalty of the game. It is fucking outrageous. It's not the only outrageous thing. There was another stupid call that went in our favor in this particular game as well. But I was like, that's fucked. Like, it went to the big screen, and it was almost like fucking, what's his, the dopey bastard, bald-headed...
Oh, oh, bleep that one out.
Damn it. What's the time on?
36 minutes.
Okay. I've got to bleep that out instead of C-bomb.
Anyway, Andrea Piatti.
Yeah, Andrea Piatti's got a head like a penis. It was like Pavlov's dog. He's like, oh, it's on the big screen. Okay, I know what to do now. When things go on the big screen, that means I bring out a card. It's like, just total overreaction.
Well,
and a weekend,
said, oh, cynical, can't do that.
A weekend full of overreactive cards.
Hmm.
Like, there wasn't the only card that I thought was bullshit.
Ben Hill got one as well later on.
Yeah, he did. That was a more traditional one. Mm. They're like, "Whoa, good one, Tony, you've said it." But there was a lineup of like pretty bad penalties. Mm. Also, just before that, our man, oh, what's his name? Mario Itoji does one.
Mario. Super Mario.
Hey, Mario. I'm a big lock. Mario Itoji does a cynical thing in a line out, deliberately goes to the ball in the air. Oh, get him off. Like, naughty boy move, get him off. But, like, it's just, it was ludicrous. Absolute ludicrous call. So they got that. But from that point on, they blitzed us. Mm. They played, like, so much better than us. We fucked up everything that we could possibly fuck up. We
got
had no
some
composure.
Some of the high balls. We didn't get all of the high balls.
Yeah. England were definitely a better team on the day. 100%.
Yeah. Not even close, sadly.
But yeah, geez. I think it's a different game as well if we get those touch finders and we don't get that yellow card.
Underhill gets one. The Dingwall one from that line-out play was pretty nice because they used Lawrence, who had just been busting off tackles in the first half.
And just cut
draws
right
in defenders, and then Dingwall pretty much goes in untouched. That was fucking gorgeous.
We had opportunities. We still got down there. Like, the game was
Will
tight.
Will Jordan got one.
Yeah, Will Jordan got the one, but then we... we had an opportunity down the far end. We had a penalty. I was like, okay, this is our chance to get back in the game. We're not out of it. It was
the
6 points.
Oh, the tap was because if you kicked it out, then it would have brought on Samisoni Takiaho, and that would have been an official injury, an official replacement, and then Cody wasn't able to come back on. But kick for posts in that situation. It was on the 40-meter line. Do they have no one on the field who could kick? Well, they said, like, Bodie had a quad thing, and...
Well,
was D-Mac on by that stage? I don't remember.
I don't think he was. Well, maybe they just felt like they never knew. Yeah, that was odd. Anyway. Yeah, what was I saying? I can't remember. I'm fired up. Oh, yeah, so we get a penalty down that end, and then D-Mac, after his miracle performance last year, knocks on the ball.
Last week?
Yeah. Feels like a year ago.
It's getting hot in here.
I'm like, oh, no, it's
getting steamy.
It's my... Rage just coming off. I'm going to go listen to a bit of saucer rock after this. He knocks it on. They get some quick ball out the back, and then before you know it, we're on our own line and we're conceding another try. And then lick your lips, the Frosty Boy himself. He looks like the Frosty
Henry
Boy.
Henry Pollock
does look like the Frosty Boy. Finger looking good's KFC, isn't it? So he comes on and makes a pretty significant impact, I thought. He's great. I think he's really, 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 really good. He's got his own style and all that sort of thing.
It's really high energy.
Very high energy.
He helps out the Roebuck try. Because we were chasing the game by that point.
Yeah, exactly.
We were having to run it from our own 22. We didn't look comfortable. Passed to nobody. Kick, kick.
This is what I mean. Like, there's no one moving onto the ball at pace. It's just... hands through the line into our pods. Like, we've got, obviously they're trying to do something, but it's not anything good.
Mm.
It's clearly not working. Like,
plus our scrum doesn't look that good either.
No, No, we had the edge on us.
When we were playing Argentina, it's like, well, at least our forwards are fucking good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
since the box, it's almost like they've lost their edge.
Lomax is a big part That's of true. That.
Our best tight head is not with the squad at the moment. But yeah.
Do you think I'm overreacting about how I'm carrying on here?
I do think we are not at a level that we've been in the past, and that's quite evident from the results under Fozzie and under Razor.
Yeah.
What I can understand the frustration and the rage is just that, like, if we were playing in a certain way that I could feel like, well, fuck, we played all right, but we weren't the better team on the day.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, fuck, they tried it, and it, oh, it just didn't quite pay off. But, you know, once Tangi Tau gets a few more games under his belt, something maybe will be, but it's just...
Doesn't feel like it's a direction.
Kicking the can down the road at the moment.
Yeah, totally feels that way.
That's the frustrating part. Like, Razor, admittedly, came in, you mentioned it earlier, I don't know if we were recording or not, but the goodwill factor.
Incredible
goodwill. He came in with a stupidly high amount of goodwill, but likewise a pretty fucking high expectation because everything he touched had turned to gold at Super Rugby level.
And he's just got positive vibes and he just says positive things all the time.
Yeah, he's a great man manager and he's going to get the best out of the players. Like, he's not always, like, the Crusader squad he had that won all those titles didn't necessarily have always the best players. Yeah. And he still managed to get results, won Super Rugby titles away from home multiple times. But we're not even seeing really an inkling of that.
No. And we've had we're about to have our second assistant coach leave.
Yeah.
There does seem to be that there's something stinky going on. The culture isn't great, definitely amongst the coaching group at least. If multiple assistant coaches who are getting the next best thing to the top job.
That's it.
In All Black Rugby are leaving. Do we need to do, you know, after we were trying to talk about before, like, what was the worst point in All Black history in terms of Fozzie's reign?
Yeah, we were talking about before we started recording.
Yeah, and we sort of mentioned it was probably after we lost the Irish series in New Zealand, because we don't lose series in New Zealand. It was the first one since 1994 that we'd lost, and that was a real, real low point. So the NZR responded to that by getting rid of Fozzie's boys.
Yep. We got rid of Brad Moore, they got rid of John Plumtree, and they were like, Fozzie needs help.
Yeah.
The guys he's got with him are not getting the job done.
Brought in Ryan and then brought in Schmitty.
Yeah. And things got better.
Can I say, so we're getting rid of Holland.
Yeah, Holland's already decided he's going to leave.
I don't know what's Hansen's. I don't think they're going to get rid of Razor.
No, I don't think so either.
I say we get rid of Hansen. And I don't know who we replace him with, but I think we win it in emergency, break glass, and pull the Wayne Smith trigger.
How many more years is Wayne Smith going to keep to keep bailing us out?
He's a Kiwi. Your country needs you, Wayne. Come on, Wayne. Yeah. I want Wayne Smith in the coaching squad. We can't bring back Schmidt, obviously. Well, he's about to quit.
Yeah, he's about to... He's still signed with the Wallabies halfway next year, but there's no games on.
Yeah.
So he's just going to be like collecting a paycheck and be like, wow, how about that Super Rugby?
Mate, he looks good. Yeah.
Hey, Liz, you should see that guy. He plays for the Reds. You know him well.
He's got a great little gig going on. And by all accounts, all of that IP that comes from the Henry Hansen Foster... you know, era, those guys who learned how to win World Cups after multiple failures and learned how to actually grow the team and keep on building is completely lost in New Zealand rugby.
But you know what? The argument before when Fozzie was coach...
Oh, we were fucking...
Was like...
Get him out.
Oh, the ideas are stale. These guys haven't had new blood. Oh. We need to bring in someone with fresh ideas. That was Razor.
We're all to blame. I'm 100% to blame. I made a video about how crap Fozzie was. And Fozzie was not going particularly well.
You know, Fozzie's team, right before they replaced all the coaches.
Yeah.
It's kind of eerily similar to the team now in that they were just a bit directionless. They were a bit like, let's wait for Will Jordan to do something magic.
Yeah.
Like, remember we got beaten by France over there? Yeah, when they had that crazy, was it like Intermac and fucking like great line break. And it was just like... what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? And then they replaced all the coaches. It's like, oh, okay, maybe it's going to turn around a bit. We made a World Cup final.
Well, I think they need to seriously think about a few things because it's like...
Whatever this dream team they've got is like the whole thing was like Race is going to bring in all these coaches. He got all these great minds, like head coaches from Super Rugby teams, Liam McDonald, Jason Holland, his like best mate, Ryan. And they were going to like, oh, he's going to look after this and he's going to look after that. And we're going to do it by committee. Race will have the final say. Like, it's just not...
It's just not worked.
And
one of the things...
Rusty has brought in, like, Tony Brown. He's brought in, like, Jerry Flannery. He's brought in, like, big-name, big coaches from different parts of the world. He's got an Irishman. He's got a Kiwi. You know, he's got...
Race has brought in his mates.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
And there's... We've put so much credibility on the fact that he was able to win a lot of Super Rugby games. And Super Rugby is just so different to international rugby. And he's learning on the job, you know, and unless we lose to Wales next week, I think if we lose to Wales next week, there's a possibility if they could flick him, they'd be like, well, fuck, you can't lose to this particular Welsh team.
If there's a team which is at a lower low point than us, it's the Welsh.
Yeah, yeah. And
they just had a win.
I don't think a one point win
over Japan.
I don't think we're going to lose to them. But if we do lose to them,
you think Heads needs a roll?
100%.
1953.
Yeah.
There's been some fucking good Wales teams in that time.
Yeah, and some great Welsh teams. You know, there was some Welsh teams that were fucking knocking on the door of World Cup finals.
Yeah. Like, I thought, literally got to number one in the world for a brief period.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they would really deserve to be in the World Cup final in 2011.
That's right.
Yeah. Just they couldn't kick any goals that day.
Warburton got the red card.
Yeah. And even with the red card, they had so many opportunities to win that game, but they just didn't. Anyway, that was
all. Well, tell us, is it just we're a bit shit and it doesn't matter who's in charge? We just need to accept that we're crap? Or do you think a coach with the right nous can get better out of this All Blacks team?
Yeah, and we have All
Blacks. We are too in the thick of it to really have impartial judgment here.
We have All Black fan level expectations.
Yes,
like
which are maybe unrealistic at this point.
But it's an unrealistic team, and if they don't meet those standards, then the team's gone. The brand's gone. So, if one of the things I've always thought about the All Blacks in terms of their success is the fact that the part that the fans play is that it's just completely unaccepting. Like
Standards are so high.
We refuse to accept a loss as fans. I'm not talking over the last couple of years. Like over the last couple of years, South Africa have been playing well. And we go, oh, we lost South Africa. But just in general, over the course of All Black history, like every All Black fan goes into every All Black game going, we'll win. Yep. Like the only acceptable result is to win and win well and win with style. So it is really, really high standards, but that's what the brand is built on. That's what the aura is built on. That's what all these massive commercial deals that they've
are based on.
It's just this team that just wins and keeps winning. And the moment that we can say, well, we're just shit. We're just not that good.
We're just a top five team.
We're just going to keep sliding. We'll just slide and slide and slide and slide. So I don't think we take the foot off the throat as fans. Like, and some of those great All Black teams, you know, when you hear Sean Fitzpatrick and the likes of Frank Bunce and all these old school players, and they go, what was the fear? What was the motivator of being an All Black? It was like the absolute terror of losing. Like, the fact that a loss is, you were just going to be completely crucified. It wasn't the joy of winning. And, like, it sounds really, really negative. But then
So I like to raise my children in the terror.
And you hear this coaching squad, and it's all about positives. Like, let's focus on just trusting ourselves, backing our skill set, and understanding that, you know, if we just focus on what we're good at and try and do those things and execute well, we should be able to play pretty well for periods of the game. And we've got to be really proud of those periods of the game. It's fucking bullshit. Like, be scared. Live in fear. And listen to Saucer Rot. That's my...
Here we go.
That's my...
South African fans will have to let us know what it was like when their team was in the doldrums.
I don't care.
Because they were in the doldrums for a while. I remember when I first started the channel, Alistair Kitsia was still coach.
Yeah.
And I was getting emails when my channel only had a few hundred subscribers from South African fans going like, I swear our team is good, but we're just not...
Yeah.
Like, and they were saying things like, at the time... Like, it's the fucking quota system. The quota system's fucking holding us back. It was every reason under the sun. Like, this is the thing. Or we can't select the overseas guys or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They knew, like, no, we're fucking better than this. Yeah. We're not this team. I swear we're good.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now. I swear they're all ones.
I think this is the most disappointed I've been as an All Black fan of the last couple of years.
If we'd, like I said before, if we'd played that game really well.
Yeah.
And just like lost it to a George Ford droppy at the death.
Yeah.
Would you be less...
I'm more disappointed with this loss, and this sounds bananas, than with the loss that we experienced.
In Wellington?
No, not the Wellington. That was kicking the nuts. But I am more disappointed with this loss than that loss. The way we've kind of got our losses have been so bad this year. But I'm more disappointed with this loss than the 2019 World Cup semi-final to the English again, because I thought that English team was just marvelous.
They monstered us.
They were clearly just like, we didn't play that badly, but they were just amazing, and we just didn't get into the game, and we didn't have.
What's the difference with this one? Do you think we were outcoached?
I think with this one, we just are listless. We're showing no heart, no passion, no composure on the field, and we could have won that game. Like, if we just did the right, you know, we made better decisions and
executed better.
But it's not just the game itself. It's just the whole lead up to the game and what's been happening to this All Black team and this All Black coaching system, and just the waiting and the expectation, and just realizing, I think for me, I'm just going, fuck me. The Emperor's not wearing clothes. You know, I've been sitting here going, kind of buying into it. Like, yeah, it'll come. And like, the 2019 was a quick fucking kick to the nuts. Certainly hurt.
Yeah.
You know, like getting kicked. We weren't going to do a three-peat, but this is just like 3 years of somebody with a teaspoon just tapping me on the nuts. And then they decided to, like, all of a sudden they just did one big fucking whack with a hammer, and my nuts have just dropped off. So I don't have sore nuts. The nuts have just disappeared.
Tony's got no nuts. There we go.
The nuts have disappeared. England were great, though, weren't they?
We've moaned about the All Blacks a heck of a lot, but you're doing well, England.
Yeah, fantastic. You're on
like a 10-match run for a reason. You beat us for the first time. It took them in a very long time for a good reason.
Yeah. You deserve to get wins last year, England, as well, against us. You didn't. But.
Yeah. You've improved a lot.
Yeah, my favourite's to win the...
Six Nations next year, maybe.
Next year.
Doing very well.
Yeah, very, very well. Well done.
Elsewhere.
Yes.
Do you remember how you talked about you didn't like the Cody Taylor yellow card? There was a card between the...
Before we say this, the one thing, I said there was a call in the English game.
Oh, yes.
English game that I thought was total dog shit as well. You know how...
Oh, the line-out call for the try?
Yeah.
Were offside at the line-out. They weren't even looking for that.
Yeah, that was fucking retarded.
You think they should have just let that try roll?
No, I don't think the try should roll, because if it rolled, I'd been like, oh, it's a 50-50. Okay, that's going to... I think we were lucky to get the 50-50 on the... Was it a strip? Was it a knock-on?
Okay.
He doesn't have a... It's a loose carry.
Yeah.
Drops a ball. Okay, yep. It's a knock-on, whatever. But the fact they go back for a penalty on a nothing call, like, fuck off, TMO. Just bullshit. Total bullshit. Anyway, didn't mean jack shit at the end of the day. Anyway,
Springbok's got a red card.
Awful red card.
2 weeks in a row.
If I hit you here, or if I hit you there, there's a difference. It wasn't even direct head contact. Like,
he was so bent as well. He
can't get any lower.
Bent. He's a big man, and he's bent. He's so bent.
Yeah, he's fucking Hagrid. Like, he's lanky Hagrid. All right, The one thing he does wrong, which you might be like, okay, I'll give him a yellow then, is, and I honestly don't even think it's a yellow, to be honest with you, is he tucks the arm.
I thought the rap was coming.
Yeah, it,
but it doesn't really get a chance.
It was coming, and that's what made it look worse. Mm. That's how I always feel when I'm coming. It makes me look worse. So he goes in. This arm's sort of doing something. There's a player in the way impeding him, so he makes contact with that to the upper chest, and then as he's going to try and rap, he does this motion, and that just gives him a bit of a rise up, and the guy goes like that. So then it looks like there's something, but there's never anything concussive about it whatsoever. There's nothing like that's going to make the other guy have an HIA. Like, the other bloke is absolutely fine. Like, he's knocked on his ass. I certainly don't want to be hit by a Diaga like that, but I don't play international rugby.
This week was Mostert.
Oh, sorry. Mostert.
Diaga was last week.
Yeah. He looks more like Hagrid, sorry. What are they looking at? What images are they looking at? You could clearly see there were so many hits like similar to that get made around that area.
Did you watch Rusty's post-match?
No.
That's pretty much what he said.
Really?
There's so many fucking hits like that in that very game.
Yeah, that are around that upper chest area. Like, it's the picture that it showed at the very end where he's raising his arm, and by them activating his arm, it gives the guy a bit of a head upward inflection, so it kind of looks like he's been collared. But he's as low as he can fucking go. He's 7'9". he's the tallest man who ever lived. He's on his knees. Just stupid. Anyway, fantastic game, though.
Like, it was a good watch. Like, cracking game. I knew the result of that one.
Yeah, so did I.
Because it was played at like 140 or something. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not getting up to watch that. Like, the Box are going to beat them by 50. I'm not watching that. Yeah. And then I saw the result and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was closer than expected, but I didn't look at the try scorers or the cards or anything. I didn't look at any of the stats. I was just like, oh, I'll watch it after.
Yeah.
Then I watched it. Then I saw that and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's why.
It was a great game.
It was a great game.
But like, to be fair, I thought that Italy was playing pretty well even before before the red.
Yeah.
Like, their attacking threats are serious. Like, they were hitting the ball. This is what I was thinking. I was watching fucking Italy.
This
is
an example of a coach getting the best out of the cattle that he's got, right? Because they've only got two professional teams. Depth, they've got a few guys playing in France and whatnot. Depth is not a strength of Italian rugby.
Yeah.
They have to get the best out of the guys that they've got, and they seem to be doing it pretty well.
Hitting the ball with pace, you know, like men in motion, like it was beautiful to see. And I was sitting there longing to play like Italy.
they opt for threes as well. They kicked themselves a lead. The Box were almost scoreless.
It was
first half. We didn't get any points until like 30 odd minutes. So.
Yeah. Did you say we?
We as the viewers.
Oh, right.
Well, we as the Old Blacks didn't get fuck all in that game. James Dolman was our closest connection, and he was doling out the cards.
Yeah. He fucked up. It was a really, really entertaining game of rugby and super tense. Like,
if one thing that was good about it is it made it more tense.
Yeah. It did. It did make it
the
more.
The Box are getting good at playing with 14 men and still winning games.
Maybe it's just this, they've got to deal with World Rugby to put them under the pump to. So if they get put into that scenario for...
Rossi was fucked off.
About the red?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
In his post-match, he was just like...
Because they get... These guys aren't like football managers.
He said one thing like, it's good that we had experienced ref, like, Dolman, and we had Ben O'Keefe running the sideline. And then the following sentence doesn't seem to connect with the first sentence, because then he says, like, we had the comms open from the ref's mic, and there was so much chatter that we had to turn it off.
If,
I guess the implication there is like the ARs need to shut the fuck up. Like, just let the ref the game.
Could not agree more.
Agreeing with Rossi.
Ugh.
Tony O'Sullivan.
It's just so bad. I fucking hate the TMO. Why do we need a TMO and a fucking foul play dude? Fuck off, both of them. Give me tries. Tries, yes or no, touchline, grounding. That's all I want. I just want touchlines and groundings. I don't want everything else is ref's call, and I want it quick, and I want it fast, and I want my scrums to be quick. Okay, just shoehorn that in there. Okay, no penalties, just free kicks. That's what I want, but I want a fast. I don't want the TMO and the AR to tell me about, like, actually hit this guy's pinky before that. It's actually this these people's lineup.
Initial contact was the pinky figure that rides up to his anus.
Yeah, yeah, it's firmly wedged right between his buttocks now. Means the ball is unplayable. We'll have a scrub.
But the ball, did you see his substitutions? Like, he pulls off one prop after like 20 minutes. Oh, that pulls was another prop. Like, he just wasn't happy with the pictures he was seeing. He was like, fuck it, let's bring him on.
It was like, it was a young guy who got pulled off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He brought off the youngster, and he brought off the other guy, Fenta, pretty early. Like, he subbed both his props early. Willow
came on.
Yeah, Hrabala had to go off and have an HIA, came back on. Like, he was subbing guys.
He's got nads, eh? Like, yeah. If he doesn't like it, he's just like,
let's just change it. Okay. He's not like, oh, we'll see how we go to halftime. We'll see if they can turn it around. He's like, nah.
I want to, you know, not give that guy a bad impression of what it's like to play test match rugby. I just
don't like the picture. I've seen. Let's change it.
I want to manage the play.
He had Andre Esterhazen, the midfielder, who's been his recent kind of hybrid guy. He was literally like in the midfield for some moves and then packing down on the scrum for some moves. He's just like, fuck it. Guy's going to have to do both jobs. But yeah, he was really, Rossi, I could feel it, was really, really pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, he had to watch his P's and Q's, but he was like kind of borderline. Like, not saying I disagree with this, but blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I
feel where he's coming from.
I don't want us to get into this football-like post-match environment where the managers go, well, I thought the ref was shit. He made some terrible fucking calls. And, like, if he gets given another game next week, it's a travesty against football. Mm. They come out and they say stuff like that, you know? And players are quite open about, you know, what they think of referees and all that sort of stuff. But I don't want that. But I want players and coaches to be able to go, look, clearly there were some really bad calls out there and there need to be repercussions. And we thought that was pretty fucking shit. Like, you know, for dot, 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 and dot reason. And that's all I have to say about that. And that is my personal opinion. And you can suck my big South African nutsacks. You know, not that I have big South African nutsacks. I have medium to small New Zealand nutsacks.
Of Irish origin.
Little potatoes.
But, I mean, you got to give credit to the box, man. They got a Trothy Funderburg on 60, Grant Williams 72, Ethan Hooker 79. Like, it ends up comfortable enough, 14 men for the vast majority of the game.
Yeah.
Since they've introduced the 20-minute red cards, we almost never see permanent red cards.
But the two unless, two
like, someone punches someone or elbows someone or headbutts someone, you just don't see them. And we've had 2 in 2 weeks.
I thought that one last week... I'm trying to remember.
I thought the one last week was the worse. The Yaka one looked worse.
Looked much worse.
Yeah.
But I still think it probably wasn't a full.
You thought 20 minute.
I thought it was 20. I thought that was a 20 minute red card. And the thing.
That's what Rusty said. Jeez, you're on the same page as the old Mr. Rusty.
Great minds think alike. But I thought the this one wasn't a yellow. I thought it was like touch high tackle. Like, maybe a yellow if you want to push it because he's tucked the arm, you know, and it looks a bit bad.
Mm.
But fucking be a grown up. No one got hit in the head. You fucking melon. Oh, sorry, I'm fired up this week. I really am. Just while I'm thinking of it right now, I met a nice South African.
Oh, good.
Lo and behold, there's lots of every South African I meet is very, very nice. Played golf with a nice man, bloke named Vic.
Vic.
And I played like shit.
Nice.
Vic will think I'm the worst golfer that ever existed. That's okay. But
he hasn't seen me play.
He's a nice guy. And we're just chatting about all sorts of things. Oh, the light's gone. Oh, dear.
Just like the All Blacks hopes.
Just like the All Blacks hopes. I blame Vic for that. And I mentioned to him, we're talking a bit about rugby. Around the course, and not too much. And I just mentioned I had a rugby podcast. He was like, oh, it's a cool. And I said, 2 cents gets distracted. He was like, oh, that rings a bell. And then he was like, 2 cents. I know 2 cents. And I was like, yeah, he's a fucking sack of shit, that guy. Don't worry about him. And then he was like, well, you're Distracted Sports. And I was like, yeah. And he looked up and said, I was like, I'm fucking subscribed. He was subscribed to Distracted Sports.
Look at that.
I
didn't know who the fuck you were.
Boom. And then, and you were like, that's you. I was like, yep. That's me. I'm the guy who makes dick jokes. But yeah, lovely bloke.
He was like, let me see those small potatoes.
He didn't ask. You don't generally do that at the end of a
round of golf. I don't know what golf works.
Golf is a different game. Okay. Different game. Should I try and get that light fixed?
That's two games down.
Two games
down. Do you want to go to the... There's still like four to go. Yeah. There was a bit of an abomination for the Aussies.
Yes. Geez, get them back to a Southern Hemisphere summer as soon as possible.
They need a break.
They need a break.
Ireland beat them by a record margin.
They rubbed their potatoes right in their face. 46, they teabagged them with their
46-19. And there's a couple of crazy things about that. Firstly, Mac Hansen gets a hat trick within like 27 minutes.
Yes.
Which is pretty crazy. But also the game was close at halftime.
Yeah.
The game was still close.
I feel like there's been a couple of games, our game included, that actually has a scoreline at the end of it that looks...
Bit of a blowout.
Looks like a bit of a pumping where it was tight for long periods. Mm. And the Italian game was one of them, where there was those late penalties. Yep. And then there was only... There was still only 12 points in it with like 9 minutes to go against the Australians.
Mm.
And then they... Oh, no. Sorry.
Well, the box scored 2 in the last 10 and 3 in the last 20. The Irish scored 3 in the last 10.
And 2 in the last 4.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So it was like, went from being like, oh, they score here.
I think they went from saying like, they've never scored 30 points to, holy shit, they're at fucking 46 points.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get those Australian boys home. This light's irritating me. Hold on.
Okay.
Talk to them about something rugby related, Mike.
Do
you have the time?
We think the Aussies...
I think the problem here is this is dead.
Okay. It's drawing power from the laptop, which has now turned off.
That's not charged.
And it's not plugged in. Don't worry about it. We'll just sit here in darkness.
To match our moods.
Yes. But are the Aussies, is it the depth? Is it the injuries? Is it they've had more games than anybody else in terms of test matches, or is it a combination of all these things?
Yep.
Is this Schmitting on Schmidt's reputation?
Yep, all of the above. It's not a good look. It's really, really disappointing, especially considering we were like, fuck, they were so good against the Lions. They came out with that incredible win against South Africa.
Was that a bit of a false dawn? Because they've had a lot of injuries since then. Like, lost McDermott, they lost Tom Wright, they lost all their freaking tens. Nick White retired. I think
it's just been a bit of an avalanche of negative events, basically, that has culminated in them not quite having the resilience or depth to be able to overcome it. Like, they've tried their damnedest. But the amount of injuries and the amount of players that haven't been available, but it's now it's just coming down to guys being tired and under strength, making bad moves. Other than Fraser McWright, who's fucking
still looks very good, scored a try in that game,
an absolute sensation.
Ireland got a bit of stick after the Chicago result. Like, it was a bit like we were just ranting and raving about the All Blacks. Like, the Irish media after the Chicago result were kind of ranting and raving. Andy Farrell's lost the plot. He's picking all these old players. His game plan's out of date. Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know if you really want to hang your hat on that particular victory.
Because of the Aussies in the bad place?
Yeah. I think you should be... I think the fact that you bet them by that much was you were just... You played really well, but for long periods of the game, you were definitely dominant for the longer periods. I think the scoreline is flattering at the end when the game.
You think it's a bit of capitulation?
Yeah, and I think it's...
Or just a bit of Irish ruthless edge, combination of the two?
Yeah. Like, the Irish, they scored some lovely little tries. Yeah, lovely Jameson tries.
Dink through for Henshaw was quite
and it was,
nice.
It was a real shame that the greatest Australian, the best player on the field was Australian.
And Mac Hansen.
But played for...
He actually mentioned in this little on-field interview, like, there's been a lot of chat about how I wasn't born here and blah, 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 but I really feel at home, so.
Well, yeah. It's nice to feel at home for the team you're playing for.
The interesting one is always where they retire to. That's where home is, once you retire.
I always feel it's interesting what kind of accent you've got.
Okay.
And he sounds Aussie as fuck, you know? And that's fine. Like,
he's got an Irish mum.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. That's good. Yeah, no, you know, he definitely, you can feel at home in countries that aren't your own. That's absolutely fine.
I lived in China for 7 years.
In China.
I was not called up to play for the Chinese rugby team. I could have qualified for China on medicine.
When I go back to Ireland.
Probably could have gone to the Chinese rugby team, you reckon? I'm tall.
I don't
have any skills or athletic ability, but I'm tall.
You're tall and they're lacking that.
Yeah. Timber.
I would have loved to seen you play at one international test match for the Chinese.
For the Chinese rugby team.
What's it? Can you sing the Chinese national anthem?
Ooh, I know the beat of it, but I don't know the words. What is it? It's a good song though, because it's a song that was written during wartime. So it's actually
is it 4-4?
I don't remember the music beats though. I was at the fucking dancing today. They're like, oh well, you start after it's 8-8-4, then you start dancing. I was like, I don't know what the fuck that means.
Oh really?
Yeah.
8 measures of 4. What measures like of 4?
Hansen gets a hat trick. Doris Baird, Henshaw tries galore. Prendergast drop goal. Another drop goal.
Mm. Yeah,
again, when the team was like not getting that much go forward, just like fuck it, just take the three.
And it was when they were only 5 points ahead and put them down to 8. It was like just smart play. Mm-hmm. Smart play. It really was. And the Aussies, it felt like they had two little periods where they were trying to get back into the game and they never quite managed to do it. They were always behind the eight ball.
Just remember all the Aussie tries a little bit ugly. They were all just like just grinded over from close range. One of them was over Prendergast, who's not the greatest tackler in the world, although he did knock the ball out of James O'Connor's hands at one point.
I thought Sawyer Lee had a couple of nicer touches. Moments, than
are they getting the best out of him, or are they underutilizing him a bit?
I think that then he's not able to get given the opportunities that enable him to really showcase his talents. I think if they're able to get somebody who's going to be a world-class 10, who's going to be able to light that back line up a little bit more, once they bring Wright back into the system, hopefully next year. Yeah. I thought Jorgensen was out of position at fullback.
It was interesting because they had Hansen and Jorgensen as each team's fullback, and both as a regular winger, but both has played like club rugby at fullback before.
It's a big change.
But Hansen looked much more comfortable at fullback than Jorgensen did.
I only got three in the first half.
Yeah.
But those two tries you got at the beginning,
they were almost identical.
Yeah, they were just copy and paste.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, not a good time for it's sad. We still really thought they were trending in the right direction.
Yeah, it's been a rough one for them. I feel like we can't underestimate the fact that they've lost Lolasio.
Will Scarlton.
And I mean, just in terms of tens, like Lolasio and Liner, and they don't want to pick Donaldson. It'd be like if we lost Bodie.
I don't mind Donaldson.
Yeah, if we lost Bodie and we lost D-Mac, and they were just like, no, we don't want to play Ruben Love. We're picking our next guy.
Yeah.
Like, we would be not looking as
good.
We'd
be picking...
like, Rivers Rehana or someone
the guy
like
from,
that.
The guy from the Crusaders. That's Rehana, isn't it?
Or maybe, like, Josh Jacob or someone like that. But we'd be really testing the depth. A lot of teams, like, if the Irish lost Prendergast and they lost Crowley, like, a lot of teams would struggle if you lost that many tens.
Yeah.
And they've also lost Tate McDermott and they lost Nick White to
we
retirement.
Had that,
so
we had that with our nine.
We had the halfback crisis earlier in the year, So... Yeah.
Tane Edmead, like, God bless his soul. Everyone loves a Fanta Pants ganger, but he's not a number 10 at
international. If he's not making, like, how many international teams in the world is he making number 10?
Well, there's probably a lot, but not many
like
in the
tier
top
one.
10.
Yeah, probably not.
He's like a really good player. Like,
to make it being a fucking super
great,
rugby player,
you're
in the top 1% of rugby players.
He's a very good, fair, professional rugby player, but at this standard, you've got to be, at this level, you've got to be incredible.
Margins are so thin.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well done, great. Ireland. Flogged them.
Got them.
They've got South Africa next, which is going to be tasty as fuck.
That's the game of the weekend, really.
I think so. Scotland got a big lead against Argentina.
Yikes!
21-0.
Feel for the Scots.
I was looking because I'm interested in the Rugby World Cup draw.
Yeah.
And the way it was going with Scotland winning by that margin.
Yeah.
All they needed to do next week was see Argentina lose to England, and they're fucking England are great against Argentina.
Yeah,
and Scotland would be shoo-in for the top six. They just needed to win by that like 16-point margin. They were up by 21. They were fucking pissing it in.
Yeah, and then what went wrong? This Argentinian team knows how to attack and knows how to score points.
Fuck yes.
And you can't rest on them. And they've got great heart. They've got great tenacity.
Yeah.
They've beaten the All Blacks in New Zealand multiple times.
Yep.
Something that Scotland has never done anywhere.
Yep.
So you can't just think, okay, well, it's just Argentina. They don't have this.
Mm.
I heard the commentator saying they don't have the storied or, you know, hushed tones when people speak their names of the Springboks and All Blacks, but they're a good team.
Getting there, man.
And I really, really, really think they can just cut you up and score bang, bang, bang points from anywhere. And
we've talked about the fact that
Russell is a liability on defense.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
He has one pass in this game.
Oh, the intercept?
It's a kind of a pass to the ground, which then, yeah, gets intercepted. Yeah. That, I think, is almost like a 14-pointer. Because if Scotland score there when they're hot on attack, they possibly put the game to bed.
Yeah.
But Argentina go either length of the field and just put Scotland under the pump. But
there was a yellow card at the beginning of this game as well.
That's right. Yeah, the Argentinians got a yellow card for a deliberate knock-on. And then the Scots got a yellow card for Kinghorn for that turnaround.
I don't know I don't think there's a single player in the world who wouldn't have given that knock-on. Because it was a back flick pass that came really close to his body.
So he tried to grab it.
And he was like, I'm trying to catch it, but I didn't catch it. I dropped the ball.
How dare you not catch the ball? A card for you. Well, we've talked in the past about Reza not getting the best out of the bench. Kontopomi's team is down. Remember, he's a new international coach as well.
Yeah. I rate him.
His team's down 21-0. It's 45 minutes. He brings off his 9. He brings off his 10. He brings off both his props. And he brings off a loose forward to bring on Matera.
Yeah.
And he fucking just sees gold from it. It's like immediate impact. And all he's got, like Santi Carreras. I mean, the guy he replaced is very inexperienced. It'd be like bringing on Bodie to replace Ruben Love kind of thing. Yeah, so
he made a huge impact.
Huge impact.
Yeah, giant.
Yeah. It was a massive turnaround. Scotland from the 21-0 lead and scored 3 more points.
I fell for the Scots because there was so many salt in the wound tries this week.
Yeah.
You had the game won and then there was just suck on that. Because the Scottish crowd's still singing Flower of Scotland and trying to pick themselves up after, it would have been a week of gloom for them after thinking chance.
21, that was a great way to bounce back after that disappointment that All Blacks lost.
And then they fucking, it's just so Scottish. And you know what they say about being Scottish?
It's shite being Scottish. Well, in terms of a rugby fan.
Yeah.
We feel you. We had a decent lead and got bit as well.
Yeah. It's the only country in the United Kingdom I have not been to.
Really? You haven't been to Scotland? I haven't been to any of them.
Yeah, you should go. It's awesome.
One of these days. But the Argentinian tries, 57, 60, 70, 75, and 79. That's the minutes of the try. So it's basically the final 20.
Yeah.
They run in 5 tries.
Be better, Scotland. Scotland.
Does Gregor Townsend not get the best out of the Scottish squad?
It's really hard to say because there have been so few periods of Scottish rugby dominance that it's hard to say, well, when we've had a good team, a good coach has got them to this point.
Mm.
And it's like, well, we've got great players, but are they just great Scottish players that...
because they've certainly been worse in the past.
Oh yeah,
a lot worse.
There were multiple Lions tours where they had
one
token Scotsman who would be, you know, and they were the whipping boys for the Six Nations who would scrape a win against Italy. But they mean since we started this podcast, have they won each Kolkata Cup? Did they win the Kolkata Cup this week?
No, they lost it this year. But they've genuinely been competitive and games and then tended to fuck up some one where the expectations were just starting to rise, they would find a way to disappoint.
If they pull the trigger on Gregor Townsend and
he's signed a new contract, so they're not gonna,
they're happy with where they are.
I was texting Graham from the rugby forecast algorithm on WhatsApp, and like right after the
what
game,
does that boss have to say from
after the game. Scottish fans were sent, like, who attended the game.
I feel like me and him have this
rivalry. You've never talked to each
never,
other.
Never.
They got sent a message that was like on the social media thing. That was like, rate your fan experience from today's game and go into the draw to win some merch. And it's like, it was fucking shite. No, they should have pulled the pin on that message. Just like, let's just not do the fan survey this week.
I just want to give, what's his name? I want to give this little challenge. It's great. It's not a little. I shouldn't call it little. It's probably got more subscribers than me. I wear a cheese cutter.
Okay.
A lot of the time. But I am certainly not the best rugby...
cheese cutter man.
Rugby podcaster, rugby YouTuber with a pod, with a cheese cutter. There's another guy, and I can't remember his effing channel. What's he called? Oh, God. Is he Welsh? No, is he Scottish?
Do you want to talk about Wales and Japan while that happens?
No, I want to look, because I always see his videos. I'm like, this guy's really good.
Wales beat Japan.
Hold on, I'm going to find it.
By a point.
I didn't watch it. Can you tell me all about it? I'm going to find this guy's channel.
Wales had a nice early try.
Yeah.
Dan Edwards, their young 10.
And then when did they blow it?
A bit of footwork. Got Wales an early lead. Japan had 3 yellow cards throughout the game, which didn't help.
3 yellow cards?
And Wales had a red, but it was a 20-minute red.
All right.
Josh Adams,
was
the winger.
Was it deserved?
Josh Adams probably could have got a full red for that one. He basically just dropped on a guy's head in a ruck, doing nothing.
Oh, yeah, here we go. This guy.
Who is he?
Hugh Griffin Rugby. Has Scott Robinson failed as All Black coach? I watched this video last night and I lapped it up. It was really, really interesting. He was like talking about what the All Blacks are doing statistically worse or better under Scott Robinson.
I can't bring a rugby jersey talking about stats. I need to
he's
watch
like,
this
he's
channel.
Like, it's like you and I if we had a baby and okay. they were English and had...
Oh, is he an Englishman?
Oh, well, let's listen to his accent. Hold on.
25 games since Scott
okay,
Razor
English.
Robinson took over
Razor.
The coach.
Razor Robinson.
Yeah, okay.
Very proper.
Everyone calls him fucking Robinson. It's Robertson.
Yeah,
Robert.
Anyway,
like Robert the Bruce.
Hugh Griffin Rugby.
Okay.
How many subscribers has he got? I've got 8,000. What's he got? That video he's not shitting on. He's giving really good
feedback.
Like non emotional feedback. Yep. None like me. Just going, I wanted to win. What's his channel? God, I don't. Hold on.
Enthralling viewing.
He's got more than me. There you go. He's got. I need my bloody glasses. I've got 8,000. He's got 9,000.
There you go.
And so he's definitely in the coveted title of best rugby YouTuber who wears cheese cutter. He's got it. Well done, Hugh.
I'll have to check him out. I haven't seen him
Hugh.
Before.
Hugh. He might be Welsh, actually.
Okay.
Because he spells Hugh like
H-U-W.
Hugh.
The posh Welsh from that accent.
When I dated a Welsh girl, her dad was called Hugh, and his mates call him Huge. What's up, Huge?
Was his surname Jass?
No, he just had a massive cock.
Wales, they won.
Mr. Morris.
They won.
Yes. So, Hugh, if you're Welsh, you'll be happy.
Last minute penalty, Jared Evans. 83 minutes on the clock. They get a penalty. Slot the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Pressure penalty to win by a point.
Was it a good game? That sounds like it's not. Because you often think shit games are good games. So if you don't think it's a good game,
it has a bit of high tension drama.
Yeah, because it's well. Because
it was close, but no, there was a fair few errors.
So it was a shithouse game.
It wasn't the best, but
so it's dog shit, is what you're telling me.
It was alright. Because
you often find like scrum battles exciting, and I'm like,
it was alright. It had
me.
Its moments. It was
usually
four fucking cards though.
Yeah,
two yellows. Like this one guy, Alex Mann. He's this kind of little. It's like for an open side flanker, he's kind of small. He gets fucking assaulted twice.
Yeah.
Both the guys tackling him get yellow carded. He's just like fucking. Everyone sees this guy like, fuck, I'm gonna take this guy's head off and fucking smash this guy.
Oh dear, poor guy.
But Reece Samet got a try, although he kind of blew one earlier in that. Eddie Jones will be disappointed because that was a chance to pass Wales in the world rankings. But Wales get a win ahead of this All Blacks game. You needed a win after last week's hiding by the Argentinians.
Are you going to beat us next week?
Maybe.
Who knows?
And also France beat Fiji.
It's unlikely they win, but hey, stranger things have happened.
34-21.
Wales beat.
That was like 21-0.
Fiji were in it.
21-0. 21-all.
Mm.
Although France lost two of their midfielders, so their midfield was like having forwards in the midfield, so it was a bit disjointed.
Yeah. Fiji are quality. Fiji pushed, like... There's been so many games over this fortnight that have not been real reflections of the scoreboard at the end of the day hasn't been a great reflection of the game. And I think Fiji's game against England last week, they were in that game for long periods of time as well.
Fiji's a good team.
People are piling on points once the game is kind of sorted in the last 10 minutes at the moment.
Yeah. France has had a late try and a couple of penalties to take it beyond their reach, but it was by no means a lopsided hiding or anything like that.
Indeed.
I still don't think Intermac's looking that great. All
right, give me the fixtures for next week. I need to pee.
Wales are taking on New Zealand.
Hopefully we won that game.
I think we need to blood the youngsters.
Yeah, there'll be changes.
Ireland are taking on South Africa. That's the game to watch.
If South Africa lose, it's a failed tour.
You know, they need the sweep because we beat them in Chicago with a red card to Tuckburn.
Yeah, but I think South Africa.
Can South Africa do it with 14 men?
I don't think they can do it with 14. I think, well, maybe, but maybe. We almost beat the South Africans with 14 men.
That was a long time ago.
In a World Cup final and a better team.
Better coach, maybe. Oh,
shot fired.
Not that razor.
Yeah. I think South Africa can do it, though.
France are taking on Australia.
The French give them a pumping, maybe.
Italy are taking on, I initially thought it was the Chiefs, but I think that's Chile.
The Chiefs. I would love to see that. Full strength Chiefs squad going over there.
Up against the Italians.
Coached by someone different. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Italy should win that one. Scotland are taking on Tonga.
Ah, oh, Scots.
First Tongan match of this autumn period or November period.
Well, the Scots and the Tongans and the Samoans used to be always over here, but they've got their own problems at the moment.
They do.
All right.
And England's taking on Argentina, which is a little bit of a traditional rivalry, which England tend to get the better of in recent times.
Oh, yeah, well, they're battling for the... Was it not the... what's the rock that they battle for?
The Malvinas or the Falklands, whichever way you want to look at that.
Mm. I think England get it done, but hey, Argentina... I've said it many times this year. Count them off in peril.
South Africa Ireland is the game of the weekend. Argentina England's right up there as well.
Yeah, is that the Monday morning one?
I think so. Yeah. Ugh. Sucks to be a guy who doesn't.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to catch these games because I'm going to Metallica on Wednesday night, but that's not going to get in the way. But then I've got
Tool
on Saturday night, and then I've got dance recitals all day on Sunday. Fuck me, dude. I have to watch some rugby somehow.
Watch some rugby, Tony. Also, this, I think, Wednesday for our time?
I'm wiggling in my chair. I need to pee this bad.
Samoa taking on Belgium for that final spot at the Rugby World Cup.
Okay. Get it done, Samoa. You've dragged this out too long.
Okay. That's it.
All right.
Tony needs to pee.
Yeah.
Sorry we worried about the All Blacks so much. I do think...
I'm not sorry. I'm angry.
England are very good. And maybe we just need to reset our expectations.
Well done, England, and stop drawing out this farewell. Goodbye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.